For years after I developed the concept of the trader's wheel, I was certain that I had developed an original concept that no one else had thought of before me. And one day I was reading Secrets for Profiting in Bull and Bear Markets, the great book by Stan Weinstein, and there he discusses the concept of stage analysis. At that point, I realized that there's nothing new under the sun. The concept of the trader's wheel is just a version of stage analysis. Now, stage analysis is nothing more than a format, a way of looking at market activity at bulls and bear markets in order to bring all the activity into a complete cycle of context. Now, since time moves forward and doesn't loop onto itself, you don't have an actual wheel or an actual circle where that circle closes in on itself. But at the same time, as markets rise and markets fall, there's a continuous activity, a continuous cycle of buying and selling behavior that shows its evidence in the same way over and over again on the stock chart. Reading a stock chart can be a very complex enterprise. Any way that we can in making can look at it and make it more simple and make it easier to understand, the more accurate our trading will be and the simpler our trading processes will be. It's very, very important for us as traders to be able to act instinctually. Now, if we have too much to look at and there's too much information passing through our systems at one time, it reduces our ability to act promptly and to act quickly and spontaneously when we have to. The trader's wheel is a very simple concept for seeing every phase of a market in any and all time frames. The concept of bulls and bear cycles, the concept of trend and range, can be used not only in a weekly chart, in a five-minute chart, in a one-minute chart. It can be used in any time frame. The United States markets have been in a secular bull market now for 17 or 18 years, since about 1982 or 1983. Within that secular bull market, there have been hundreds and thousands and perhaps even millions of baby mini bear markets, sub bull markets, flat markets, all occurring simultaneously in different time frames. You take a single day of market activity in 1999, the U.S. stock market may rise that day. Maybe it goes up 100 points. The market indices themselves go through on a smaller basis, on a mini basis, on a micro basis, small bear markets during the course of a single day's activity. Whenever the prevailing trend is up, downward motion is a countertrend movement. Whenever the prevailing trend is down, upward motion is a countertrend movement. Defining the difference between a bull and a bear within that context helps define where the power of buying and the power of selling come in. The trader's wheel is very simple. There's only seven parts to it. You have bottoms. You have breakouts. You have trend development. You have topping motion. You have declines and falls, and you have new highs and new lows. Now, each of these seven stages dictates a different trading strategy. Now, if we only chose one or two trading strategies, we probably could survive over different periods of market cycles. The problem is that the market's always throwing something new at us. If we're not able to become flexible and develop our skills to be able to move in and out throughout whatever market cycle we run into, we won't be as successful as we're capable of being. One of the great things about the trader's wheel is the ability to find opportunity regardless of market cycles, regardless of time frame. Now, if you look at the first chart on our lecture flip, you'll see a series of bulls and bear markets for Texas Instruments. Now, there's a commonality. There's a repeating formation, a repeating process that goes on over and over again with this Texas Instruments rise and fall over the course of, about a year, year and a half. You have basing action in the form of bottoms developing. You have strength developing from the bottoms and breakouts occurring. You have trend development following a breakout when the stock rises and pushes upward out of gravity. Then you have sudden events like gaps where the action quickens and the stock jumps in price from one level to another. Then you have topping activity where the strength starts to decline and somehow gravity starts to reexert its force again. Then you have a rollover process where the market starts to decline all over again, breaks through support, drops in a new decline in a new bear market. Defining these 6 or 7 points within a continuous market cycle in any time frame will help make you a spontaneous, successful trader. Now, new highs and new lows are separate processes, are very, very unique states of the trader's wheel. Now, what makes a new high or a new low so special? Well, at a new high, there are no losers. Everybody holding a stock, generally, at the time a stock goes to a new high, must be a winner by the nature of the numbers. If the former high were 50 and the stock's now 51, well, there's nobody who's in a losing position because 50 was the last price you could have bought that stock. Conversely, a stock IPOs at 20 and goes up for 5 or 6 or 7 years and then at some point drops down below 20. Well, there never were holders of that stock who held for any price lower than 20. So everybody still holding that stock is then a loser. So in the case of new highs and new lows, trends can develop very, very quickly. Markets can go vertical very, very easily in these states because the balance of supply and demand is so offset to one side or the other that either gravity can exert its force and just drop a stock through the floor, or the rocket ship can exert its force and the stock just goes vertical. And whenever I think of a stock going to new highs and going vertical, I always think of America Online. America Online, as it's gone through a series of new highs, constantly shows why fundamentals probably aren't the thing you need to look at for in the stock market. Technically, America Online, even when the fundamentals were at its worst, whenever it went to a new high, it would just go vertical. Now, there are only a limited number of stock market patterns. Stock market patterns do not require learning hundreds and hundreds of different formations. The same repeating patterns appear over and over again during market activity. The most common of these patterns are triangles. Triangles are small congestive patterns that appear over and over again in all time frames. There's only 3 different kinds of triangle patterns. One that sort of points up, one that sort of points sideways, and another that points downward. Now, amazingly, there's a bias associated with each of these triangles according to the direction in which it's pointed. An ascending triangle, which is pointed upward, has a natural bullish bias. A symmetrical triangle, which just moves straight out into a pinpoint, has a neutral bias. It could go in either direction. And a descending triangle, and during the course of the lectures, I think we'll see that famous Seek descending triangle that triggered a tremendous reversal. There's a floor of activity at the bottom of the triangle, and when that floor goes, the stock drops like a rock. Now, beyond triangles, the most important formations in the market are tops and bottoms. Bottoms, in a sense, are more important than tops because there's really often more money to be made at bottoms than there is to be made at tops. At the time a stock forms a bottom, it's in one of the best risk-reward positions that it'll ever be in during the course of its entire history. And bottoms tend to form in a very, very similar manner. Bottoms tend to form more slowly than tops. The redistribution from the first set of losers washing out to a new set of hopeful participants takes some time. And this tends to be true even on intraday charts. It tends to take a little longer for a bottom to form than for a top to form. Maybe that's just the natural positive bias that investors have and that traders even have, that they favor the long side. The double bottom is one of the simplest and most phenomenally dependable patterns in all of the trader's wheel. With the double bottom, we could see where a bottom is formed, the bottom's then tested, and a market's ready to rise again. Double tops take a little bit, again, less time to form than double bottoms, and are not quite as dependable. Gravity operates in a different way than basing action. And the process of gravity and the process of greed that's associated with gravity is a little bit of a different animal than the hopefulness that's associated with the bottom forming.